When people talk about film, they concentrate on either what the French call mise en scène, the filming, the putting into the frame, or what we call editing and the French call montage, the stage of editing. And the revolution in capture devices, which goes up through this to the first digital camera I had, the first one sold in Britain, I'm told, another Sony, which I got in about 1998, 9. This was a revolution because it has a fawa at the back. In other words, you could take the film straight out as a DV stream into a computer. And that was absolutely a transformation. And this was the camera I used for a few years in Nepal. And then, of course, to smaller cameras and now to mobile phones. So basically, the revolution in capture devices is one revolution. The second is in editing, montage, because non-linear editing, in other words, being able to dot around in editing, is only very recent. I mean, editing suites when I was taking this U-matic was very large. It was in a building here. I had to book an editing suite, and it was quite complicated. So it was tough. And then they had a small one for the film that goes into this sort of film that goes into here. And I could borrow it and do it in the holidays. Still difficult. So the revolution in editing was really the result of the computer revolution about 2001, when you had the first big external hard disks. But it does link into the third thing, the editing device. The thing that changed and led to that was really the third thing, which people don't talk about, which is the delivery system. You see, the main reason I think many anthropologists never bothered about film was what did you do with it when you got it? Heimendorf was in this position. I mean, 90% of his films were never seen by anyone, just the few that went on to television. He used to go to societies at universities and occasionally show films. But filmmakers have their festivals and you have to make professional films and you go and show them. Anthropologists, it takes an awful lot to make a professional film for a film festival. Anthropologists didn't want to do it and I don't want to do it. So basically these things just gather dust. I couldn't show them to anyone. Occasionally I'd sort of show one to in a lecture to students, but it wastes a lecture. So they were sitting there, and I had, 30 or 40 of these sitting in my cupboard in the room in the year 2000. Well, New Year's Day 1990, Tim Berners-Lee put up the first HTML page. By 2000, broadband and the internet, around 2000, were beginning to become available. I'd begun working with Mark Turin in the 90s. Later 90s, he was one of our students and we became very close friends and remained so. He was interested in Nepal and we worked there together and on other things. And Mark suggested we set up something called Digital Himalaya as a place to hold our material, because the other thing that was happening is that not only do you need something to distribute the films, but if people are going to watch them on the web, you need large archives. So the development of something called DSpace, Digital Space in Cambridge, from about 2003, made it possible not only to digitize the films and make them available on the web, but to store them in a library for people to see.